The first reading comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning at verse 35, and it can be found on page 1006 in the Bibles. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, the page is 1006. Mark 4, verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The second reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning at verse 9, and that can be found on page 1082. John 14, verse 9. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Father, you are the one who brings revelation. Your word is alive and active. And we pray that we might hear your word this morning, might hear you speaking to our hearts and minds for your glory. Amen. See if the technology works this morning. Which reminds me, I heard a lovely story about a couple who'd got problems with their internet. So they called a guy in to help. And he was working with the husband and shouted to his wife, "Can you just remind me, what's the password for the computer?" So she shouted back, "This is what it is. Start with a capital S and then 1, 2, 3. So the guy and her husband worked really hard and they kept keying in capital S, 1, 2, 3, capital S, 1, 2, 3, and it didn't work. So they called in the wife and so she put in the password. And as she did so, she muttered, "I really don't know what's so difficult about typing capital S-T-A-R-T 1, 2, 3. So we've been thinking about kingdom lifestyle. And and about the words from the Lord's Prayer in particular, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And last week, if you were with us, you will have heard Jeremy talking about how we are salt and light, how we are people committed, requested, asked to bring restoration, flavour enhancing, and to bring light into the darkness. Now, I don't know about you, but I quite like cooking. And sometimes I look at recipes. Have you noticed that many recipes these days always have a lighter version, which never really quite tastes like the original, does it? So you see a recipe, and there's the list of ingredients. But sometimes I find I haven't got all the ingredients. And so I try and cobble something up, but it's never quite as tasty and never quite as nice as the real thing.
Oh, yes, it is.
Well, anyway, I don't think it's quite as tasty, because if I had all the ingredients, it would be very different. Do you know, sometimes I think we settle for less in matters of faith. And sometimes we live on a fairly meagre diet, instead of the feast that God has prepared for us, as David says. We don't utilise all that we have. And as somebody once said recently, I heard him say this, you know, you can have £1 million in the bank, but you can still starve to death. Do we use all the resources we have in Christ? So let's look at a bit at that passage from Mark chapter 4. We know that Jesus was tired. If you read beforehand, he'd been out, he'd been talking, he'd been speaking to crowds. He'd been training up his disciples, so he was tired. He was human, like us. And so he says to his disciples, let's get in the boat and go over the lake. Now, in this boat, there was Jesus, a carpenter, a preacher, a rabbi. There were several fishermen amongst the disciples, as well as various other things. Now, who might you expect to be concerned in a storm? Jesus was in the stern sleeping. He was the carpenter. Who were the ones who were worried? The fishermen. The fishermen who were out on that lake, had been out on that lake year upon year upon year, grown up there, knew the storms that blew up. But they were the ones who panicked. And they woke him up. Teacher, Jesus, don't you care if we drown? And Mark tells us, Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves. So he answered their prayer, and then he turned to them and said, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? For Jesus, the supernatural was completely natural. There wasn't a division between one and the other. So often we completely separate them, but for Jesus, the supernatural was natural. And I want to suggest that the Father, that God is looking today for people who will still speak to the winds and the waves. You see, what was Jesus thinking as he did that? Where did his thoughts come from? He said to his disciples, the Son does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So just think for a moment, where was he thinking from? It wasn't the same place as the fishermen or the rest of the disciples. He must have been thinking differently. Where do we think from? Do we always think from an earthly perspective? Or do we actually think from the heavenly perspective? Paul wrote this: let God transform you by changing the way you think. Not the way you behave, by changing the way that you think. And Paul himself was in a storm. And in that storm, he'd prayed, he'd connected with God, he'd listened to God, he'd possibly said, "What's going to happen, Lord? Where are you taking me?" And been alerted by God to what was going to come. Because he tells the sailors in the middle of this storm, don't put the lifeboats down. And so they chop the ropes and set the lifeboats off. He said, don't let the lifeboats down. God's told me we're all going to be okay. That's a pretty brave thing to say in the middle of a storm, isn't it? Where was Paul thinking from? Paul understood his position in Christ. We've seen that illustration before, but if you haven't, it's a picture of the three realms: the heavenly realm, the spiritual realm in the middle, and the realm of people and things, the natural realm, the realm that we live in. So you see at the bottom there are unbelievers, people who've chosen to follow Jesus, and there are unbelievers, people who don't yet know about Jesus or haven't made a commitment to follow him. Then there's a spiritual realm where there are spirits, both good and bad. There are angels and demons trying to work their will amongst us. But for believers, we know, as Paul tells us, in Christ we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. So where was Jesus thinking from? Was he thinking from the heavenly realm and bringing that down to the natural realm? Where was Paul thinking from? He'd been connecting with God in the heavenly realm. He understood his position in Christ. That's what he keeps saying in his letters to the other Christians. We've been raised with Christ. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. And Neil Sutton wrote this: God's intention for mankind was not to wait on earth in order to get to heaven, but to connect with him in order to bring heaven to earth. So our responsibility, if we really mean it when we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, is to connect with God, to partner with him, so that heaven can be brought to earth, so that we can speak to the storm. And in that reading from John, further on in the disciples' life with Jesus, he taught his followers, and he teaches us, that in him we will be able to do greater things. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Not for our glory, but for God's glory. Believe in me. He says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And of course, after his resurrection, which is also our resurrection to a new life in him, Christ is in us and we are in Christ. And he goes on, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. It's not for our fame and glory, it's for God's. And what we believe, what we really believe, provides a framework for our behaviour. I'm going to flash up a question on the screen, and I want you to look at it and answer it. About lunch today. Who can tell me what that question was? Okay. You read, will you have fish and chips? Was it really? Did you really look at it? Or did you frame it to fit in what you thought it should be? Because if you really examine it, you'll see that the Y is exactly the same as the V. The U is the same as the H. And the F is the same as the C. So actually what's up there does not make sense. But you took it, put it into your framework of understanding and belief, and made it work. Because in our experience, it doesn't work outside that, does it? It doesn't make sense. And what we believe about God is the framework for how we'll behave. You answered that question because you made it make sense. When really it didn't. But when we frame our behaviour according to what we believe, we can sometimes miss out on the dynamics of faith and settle for less. So I want to suggest that there are four important foundations, cornerstones, that we need to have in place for doing God's will on earth as it is in heaven. A framework for beliefs that enable dynamic, supernatural behaviour. And they're all promises and truths from the Bible. And the first one is God is good. We can often, and maybe you have done, go for that, the response, God is good all the time, God is good. It trips off the tongue, doesn't it? But do we really believe it? There were many situations that Jesus was in, including that storm, but there were other situations that he walked into that were not good, that did not look good. But he knew that God was good, and God didn't intend that situation to be as it was. And you see, our faith will only take us as far as we understand the goodness of God. Is God good all the time? Is the essence of God good? Is he really, really good? When things go wrong, does that mean God isn't good? Don't let's be complacent or religious and wrap bad things up as, oh, well, God meant it to happen. God wants disciples today who will calm the storms. Perhaps you can remember some time ago, if you were here, a member of our congregation who's not here at the moment, but Peter was talking about being in the bank in Basingstoke and noticing an escalating row happening at the cashier's desk as the queue grew larger and larger. And he was suddenly struck with, hang on, this isn't good. This isn't what God wants. So there and then he prayed and he said in his prayer something along the lines of, God, you want good. This is the enemy. This is your enemy trying to make everybody upset. So in Jesus' name, be gone, spirit of anger or whatever it was. And all of a sudden, peace descended. You see, when we understand that God is good all the time, we will be able to bring hope instead of hopelessness. We will bring transformation. We can bring encouragement, healing, peace, restoration. Because we have that authority in Christ, and Jesus gives it to all his followers. So God is good, the first foundation. The second one, nothing is impossible with God. Do we really believe that? It's not nothing is impossible for God, that might be easier to believe. But nothing is impossible with God. So if God is with me, is anything impossible? When he asked me to do it. And if nothing is impossible, we can take risks. In fact, if nothing is impossible, we should be dreaming big. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. And you may remember that story of the eagle brought up as a chicken. And I think God's saying to us, don't live as chickens scratching around when actually you are eagles. Nothing is impossible with God, and therefore we can take risks. Thirdly, Jesus paid it all. John says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. There is nothing for us to earn or to do. We can't live any better. We can't try any harder. It's been done. It's paid for. And therefore, as a consequence, we can trust God. And we can trust him even if things don't look good. We can still trust God. Yesterday I was sent a magazine. And it included a story about a young lad who was brought up in Africa as the son of a witch doctor and became a Christian. And naturally enough, faced huge hostility from his family and the people in his village. However, he discovered, and there are lots of testimonies of his along the way, that God could be trusted. He was provided for in miraculous ways by a lady who had a picture of a man that she had to fund through theological college. He had no money. And when she saw him, she said, "It's you," and provided the money. So a lot of testimonies. But he was out preaching one day. But even so, after he'd been ordained, he says, things weren't straightforward. One village resisted his preaching. So he left. And the story goes, leaving there, he was faced with a busy river ahead, violent people behind, and wild animals in the forest around. Praying, he reminded the Lord of his promise to take care of him. He reminded the Lord of his promise to take care of him and immediately found himself on the other side of the river. In response, he could only say, "You are my God, there is none like you." He reminded God of his promise. Let's remember God's promises. Let's learn God's promises. How many promises do you know in the Bible? And let's apply them and learn that we can trust God in any and every situation. Because if Jesus was prepared to lay down his life, there is nothing we need to do to earn his favour. We have it as believers. And if he loves us that much, we can remind him of his promise. Fourthly, who am I? Do we know who we are in Christ? Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he'd come from God and would return to God. Jesus knew exactly what he was here for and who he was. He didn't lord it over everybody. In fact, that passage from John comes just before he washes the disciples' feet. He could do anything because he was completely secure as to who he was. And so the question is, do we know who we are? Do we know how God's created us? Have we discovered our original design and are going on discovering more and more about it? asking God to unpack it so we can discover who we really are. Psalm 139 says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God knew about us and had a plan and a purpose for us even before we were born. Whoever we are, wherever we came from, wherever we live, whatever our background, God knew us before we were born. And God has a plan for us. And Paul reminds us, for we are his workmanship, we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Jesus was able to walk in good works and do things because he knew that was what he was there for. He understood his identity. Discovering God's plan and purpose for us is exciting, because they're plans, as Jeremiah was reminded, plans to give us a hope and a future. God doesn't make mistakes. Let's discover more and more about who we are so that we can walk in all those good things that God has got for us. So those four foundations. Firstly, God is good. And because God is good, we can dream big. We don't need to fit our dreams to our experience. We can dream big with God. Secondly, let's go back. Nothing is impossible with God. So it's okay to take risks. Thirdly, everything was paid for at Calvary. We can trust God. And fourthly, God made us with a plan and a purpose. And as we discover that, would you want to be anything else? You don't have to try to be it. You have to discover what it is. And then you're free to live it. So how is your Christian diet? Is it meagre or is it a feast? What sort of lifestyle is your diet sustaining? Because God wants to demonstrate who his son Jesus is through believers today. He's got no other plan, no plan B. We are it. And God wants to show us to be salt and light, as we heard last week, and to show who Jesus is, who his son is, through believers who are committed and submitted to him. And if Christ is in us, Christ who is so big, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, if Christ is in me, who's so huge, and in relationship to him I'm so small, but if the hugeness of Christ is in me, he's going to leak out, isn't he? Because he's so big. He's going to overflow. So let's look to be overflowers, to dream big, to take risks, to trust God, and to discover all that he has for us. Paul says this in Ephesians 3. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Let's pray together. song that we sung at the beginning of the service is really both a declaration of faith and trust and a prayer. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. Father God, thank you that you call us to an exciting, dynamic life with you. Thank you that it's your Holy Spirit that equips us and sustains us to do all that you've called us to do. Thank you that we can dream big, that we can take risks, that we can trust you, that nothing is impossible with you. Fill us afresh, day by day, with your Spirit. Help us to connect with you, to think like you do, to see things like you do, and to be people who bring your kingdom to earth and bring glory to your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.